There was a young man sitting at a store with a dog, big old burly dog beside him. This boy sitting there, big old dog sitting beside him. A stranger come up. The stranger said, Does your dog bite? He said, no, sir. And so he reaches down and tries to pet that big old burly dog, and that big old burly dog about took his arm off. He said, I thought you said your dog didn't bite. He says, sir, that ain't my dog. Amen. It's easy to get mixed up. It's easy to get confused. It's easy to substitute what God wants for us, prop it up, paste it up, and try to make something work that God never intended to work. There's a lot of things in our life God uses just to get us to certain places. And once He gets us to those places, He wants to transform us. Get your Bibles, stand for the reading of the Word. Mark 2, 22. This is early in Jesus' ministry. They're already trying to get Him, the law, the people, the lawyers are trying to get Him. Those that know the law are trying to get to Him. And let me see if I can't get that thing right here. Hold it just a second. Let's see here. Let's see. Where is format aspect? There you go. There you go. All right. All right. So Jesus is beginning His ministry, and they're already talking to Him. They're already trying to get Him. They're already trying to mess Him up, so to speak. So He goes right ahead, right into this explanation, and it's really cool. Because it says, no man putteth a piece of new cloth onto an old garment. For that which is put in to fill up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. In other words, there's no stretch left in the old garment when you put the new garment in there, and there is stretch when it begins to shrink. I mean, when it begins to shrink, it begins to pull what was there apart. Neither do men put new wine in old bottles, else the bottles break and the wine runneth out and the bottles perish, but they put new wine into new bottles and both are preserved. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I know, God, you're alive and well on the throne, Father. And I know, God, that you've got everything under control. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us, to anoint us, Lord, to help us, God, to see, to know, to understand, Father, your word in a very powerful way. This is a new year. And Father God, you want new us. You want to not just change us, you want to transform us. And in order to transform us, we don't need to patch up the old life. We don't need to use old wineskins. We need to let you show us something very powerful in our life to keep us moving in the right direction. Father, let nothing be said or done out of vainglory or strife, Lord, but let, Father, everything be said, Lord, for the edification of your body, Lord, and Father, Lord, for lifting up of your Son, Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord. We praise your name. And the church said, on the way down, tell somebody that passes behind us, the future is ahead of us. God is with us, and nothing shall be impossible. Now, how many here know that when Jesus came into your life, there was some changing going on? I mean, He didn't just prop you up. Praise God, He didn't just prop me up. There was a change, and I thank Him for it. So now, Jesus, He begins His ministry, and as He begins His ministry, He's showing there's a life beyond religion. Come on now. There is a life beyond religion. He said religion changes you just as the outside change, but God's saying, I'm going to show you something. I've come to cause an inside change from the inside out. I'm going to show you how life could be if you'll trust me to transform you. You know, we all get excited. All of us, we get excited when we think about the way things could be. But there's a problem. We're comfortable with the way things are. Oh, come on. I can just stop it right there. We get excited about what God could do for us, but we get comfortable in what is. We talk about change, yet we resist it with every fiber of our being. To grow equals change, but to change doesn't necessarily equal growth. Amen? So, it's not just change for change's sake. Matter of fact, Jesus knew that this was not going to be easy. He knew, so He took symbols. And as he took symbols, he spoke parables. And as he spoke parables to people, it was something that they could actually sink their teeth into, something they could understand, something that would change them, something that he could actually get his point across in a very strong, strong, strong way. So here it is. He used new wine and wineskins. See, to us, that means very little. But back in that day, there was a lot of nasty stuff in the water, and there was a lot of nasty things. And so in order to keep things going on the up and up and keep things sterilized, they would drink wine. They would take wine and use it in all kinds of ways. And so they literally, you could say, used it for purification and used it for medicinal purposes. So now, here they are. They knew all about wine, and they knew about the wineskins. Matter of fact, I'm going to show you something in a minute that might even blow your mind, but I want you to just stay with me for a minute. So to them, when he tells them this, this is something that blows them away. You see, he knew this, that there's three parables. There's actually three parables. It's not on yours. So just go ahead and let it rip. There you go. Three parables into one. The first parable is the old garment. It speaks of the legal system or the dispensation of religion. And this dispensation, this is when God was training people and getting them ready for his son. But the new garment is the heir of grace. And so the law and grace are incompatible. The dispensation of the law, dispensation of grace. We live in the dispensation of grace. How many know that? It's not do what you want to, live it up how you want to and all that, but what it is grace is Christ has already took our punishment. We don't have to keep sacrificing. So the first parable, the old garment. The second parable, the second parable is actually, it teaches the folly of putting new wine in old wineskins. It's talking about our attitude and talking about ceremony. There's a lot of things we do that will not hold up to what God wants us to do. Matter of fact, that's why a lot of us back down when God's trying to do something new in our life, because as he's trying to do something new, and this year he's going to do some new things. In order to get through that newness, then you feel the stretching. And the stretching is uncomfortable. You feel things getting tugged, and you can't, you want to do it, but the tugging happens and you get afraid and you back down. So the first parable is the old garment. The second parable, of course, is the folly of putting new wine in old wineskins. And in Luke, he adds, the people said the old is better. Which means not necessarily that it was better, but that they did not even want to attempt to try the new wine. They want to stay with the old. Now we're back on target. So now Jesus gives this great parable. It's a parable about change. Now, again, I was saying, God, I need some stuff for this new year. Give me something, Lord, that's going to be different, something that's going to actually touch us, something that's going to change us from the inside out, something that's going to challenge us. I don't want to come to church and just worship. I want to come to church and worship, and I want to be challenged. So when I go back, there's going to be a difference that week when I get back, wherever I'm at, I'm challenged to be different. I'm challenged to try something different. So let's watch this now. Watch. No one pours new wine into old wineskins. The wine is the grace of God in the new covenant. The old wineskins are the traditions of the elders, and so the new wine would burst the old wineskins. Wineskins were made from animal skins, and so over a period of time, they would become hard and brittle and eventually break. So here's the part I told you. It's going to kind of blow your mind. Watch this. When you think about wineskins, you think about those things like Daniel Boone carried on the side and all these guys carried that little thing here. Uh-uh. That's not even close. I want to show you something. That holds wine, but that's not what it is. I put it all up here for a reason. Watch this. The wine was made by treading barefoot on the grapes in a wine press, a pit. The juice then flowed through a channel into a lower vessel to collect the wine and to ferment it. It would start fermenting immediately. In the climate of Palestine, grape juice began to ferment very quickly, and there was no easy way to prevent fermentation. So, after the first state of fermentation had taken place in the wine vat, after 4 to 6 days, it was poured into animal skins for storage and to finish or complete the fermentation process. Now, I'm going to show you the animal skin. Look at that. Wine skins were made of whole, tanned goat skins. Ha ha, isn't this cool? That's a little different, that little bitty thing you see on the side. It's made of old goat skins. Has anybody ever called you an old goat? You thought it's because you were stubborn? Sometimes it's not just because you're stubborn, but you won't stretch. You won't allow yourself to try something new. And if something does happen, you break. You just fall all apart. And so next time somebody calls you an old goat, I want you to think about what you're seeing right here. That's a new goat. But the old goat would be after several months. So now, look now. It was made of a whole tanned goat skin where the legs and tail were cut off and had been sealed. See it sealed? The neck tied off where the wine was poured in, and the whole large skin bulging almost to bursting as the carbon monoxide gas generated by the fermentation process stretched as it's fermenting. It puts off carbon monoxide, and as it puts off carbon monoxide, it actually stretches that skin. That skin is going to blow up. How many's ever rode by the road one day and seen a deer on the side of the road or a dog? Rode by the next day, when you ride the first time, their legs were like this. The next day, their legs were like this. Next day, their legs are like this. Their belly was like this, now their belly is like that. Why? Because there's a process going on inside of them, and it's putting off carbon monoxide and other kind of gases. And so that's how the wineskins would do. So now, fermentation in the wineskin might continue for another 2 to 4 months until the process slowed down or it stopped. By the time it stopped, the skin had stretched to its limit. So now, you got this little goat. By the time you get through with the wine, he's a great old big goat. The skins. And they knew about this process. They still do this stuff overseas in the Philippines. They do this with rice. I've heard I knew a guy that was in the Air Force. He said in the Philippines, I reckon it was rice wine. I'm not sure what they were doing, but he said they would take it and do it with dogs. They would use a dog and they would put it in the dog's belly. And they would hang it up and let it sit up there until when it got ready to bust, he knew it was ready and they could eat that fermented rice or the rice wine. Praise God. If I see a dog hanging up in your yard, I'm not coming to eat. All right. If you got a dog hanging up or a goat skin hanging up over your front door and say, hey, pastor, come eat. I'm going to go, I just ate. Thank you. Yeah. So now, Jesus gives us This is so awesome. Won't you see this? The old wineskins are the attitude of tradition. Think about it. The old wineskins, your emotions, I don't want to go through the emotions, or through the motions. Your emotions, once you get caught up in yesterday and caught up in what has been and caught up in all these ways that actually are harmful, what's going to happen is you become numb, stale. Your emotions become mechanical, predictable, and inflexible. You are actually held hostage by religion. It's holding you hostage and you refuse. You resist anything that would cause you to stretch. Anything that would cause you to change. You know, when I think about this, I think about, praise God, I think about them boys getting me on that base back there. They've got me doing things I've never done. I remember when they were little, I was teaching them when I was going, they were always going, how you do that, Daddy? Show me how to do that, Daddy. Help me, Daddy. Help me. Daddy, how you do that? Now I'm going, how y'all do that? Show me. And so this old wineskin is trying to be a new wineskin because I'm trying to stretch. Amen? Again, God has something in all of our lives that He's trying to do something different and we won't let Him. New wineskins, the attitude of expectancy. Look, watch this now. Emotions. You're alive and fresh. Your emotions, you're spontaneous, unpredictable, and flexible. The gospel gave hope, or the gospel gives hope for change. I've never met a person that the gospel would have come into contact with gospel that they were not changed. I remember just this Thursday night at prison, I can't remember if it was Benny. I think it was Benny, said he was talking about, there were some of the guys, and how many remember Danny, the guy that come here and got us started going to prison years ago? This guy here was in my church at Williamson. He was so mean and so bad when he came into church that morning to get saved, nobody would even go with him to the front. I didn't know him, and if I had known him, I'd have still been up there. But I went up and I prayed with him and prayed him through to salvation. He got up and walked right out. And everybody just kind of went. And I said, what in the world? And I found out he was there, Saul of Tarsus in Williamston. This guy here was mean. He was bad. The drug dealers were scared of him. And God turned that man around, right? I won't go through the whole story, but God turned that man around. And a year later, after he gave his heart to the Lord, a year later, he went to a went to a youth drug center and wound up 50 young people gave their heart and life to Jesus. This man, there's no telling all the things that changed in his life. It was powerful. And I could do a whole service on him and I won't. But the whole point is, I watched God transform a man from about as low and as scared of people scared of him as can go, to somebody that God was using in a very, very powerful way. So now, watch this. So Jesus here goes now. Luke adds this thing, the old is better, 539. He meant that some people are reluctant to change. And again, I'm not, you know in your heart, you know what you see, you know what God is doing with you and how God is trying to get you to step up. A lot of times people are scared to step up because when you step up to the plate, you know, when you step up, then you start to stretch. And so people would rather set back instead of step up. Because as long as I'm setting back, I don't have to stretch. But if I step up and I say, yeah, I can do that. Yeah, let me try that. Yeah, I want to work. Yes, God, use me. All of a sudden, you start stretching. Okay, so they stay with what they're accustomed to. They don't try the new wine. They fail to give the new wine a chance. And the truth is, over time, the new wine seasons and becomes the best wine of all. So let's watch this. Ready? Change. Change is a part of life. How many know that? How many in here used to have a different color hair? Yeah. I like what my brother said. He said he changed. He painted mine white and repossessed his. Amen. I mean, remember when you had teeth that stayed in one place. Now your teeth are like the stars. It's like the stars. They come out at night. I remember when you were so skinny. When I first started preaching, I was so skinny I had to tease the hair on my legs to hold my socks up. Bought a pinstripe suit and I was so skinny I only had one stripe. Praise God, that's not my problem now. Amen. Somebody said amen or something. I'm not sure. Okay. Look, change is a part of life. But there's a paradox. Here's the paradox. Change is growth. We're talking about growth. I'm not talking about change for change. We're talking about growth. The pathway, here's the paradox. Change is the pathway to progress, but it's the enemy of status quo. One more time. It is the pathway to progress, but it is the enemy of status quo. The problem is, change brings struggle. Do you know that everybody in here needs a certain amount of stress in your life? I know you don't necessarily like it. God, I wish there was no stress, but if you had no stress in your life, your life would seem useless. You've got to have stress in your life. Good, healthy stress keeps you on target. Good, healthy stress keeps you on time. Good, healthy stress keeps you moving in the right direction. Healthy stress is awesome. But then there's the negative stress. Usually, like the remainder saying, bring struggle, bring stress. And then when too much starts hitting you, then your mind starts fading. And as your mind starts fading, then you start, your emotions get all bundled up and you just can't operate right anymore. Let me show you something. Watch this. The last seven words of a dying church. Watch this. We never did it this way before. All right? If you are wanting to step up and let God use you in a higher way, you can't say we never did it this way before. Because if we were saying that now, guess what? We wouldn't have electricity in here. We'd be up under the trees somewhere, worshiping God, being a brush arbor somewhere. Wouldn't have a sound system. Wouldn't have lights. Wouldn't have air conditioning. Wouldn't have heat. How many'd like that? There's all kinds of stuff that happens along the way. See, the message is always the same. Jesus Christ, His blood, and that's it. He saves. The message is the same, but the way the message is conveyed can be changed. The way things are done, and they have been done different, because I guarantee you, I'm only 55, and I've seen things change since I first got saved at 20. And so that's however many years that is, 35. Thank you, somebody. All right, so now, God is the author of new things. I wrote down there new wineskins. You can put new wineskins, however you want to put it. If we live in yesterday's blessings and favor, we miss out on what the Lord is doing today. If what you did yesterday is still so big that it's clouding today, then you've got a problem. If all you can say is yesterday, your favorite song is from the Beatles, yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. You know what? They weren't far away. They're right there in your face. But now, when you're starting to stretch, you look back over there and think, well, that weren't so bad. Really, you were saying the same thing when you were there. Say, look, God is always up to a new thing. Isaiah 43, 18, 19 says, forget the former things, do not dwell in the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. So watch this now. Watch this now. We can't fix, get ready. We can't fix a new, or we can't fit our new life in an old attitude. Y'all just got real quiet. You can't fit your new life in an old attitude. It doesn't work. Jesus said that. You can't fit your new blessings in your old testimonies. Testimonies are good. I love testimonies. They're awesome. But if you hear a testimony, it ought to be something that pricks your heart to do something now. It should prick your heart to know that God, what He did back then, can do now. It should prick your heart to understand that right behind me is something that propels me forward, not just keeps me stuck in the back. And you can't fit new disciplines in the same old habits. Oh, here we go. Now I'm meddling. You can't fit it. It's not going to work. Jesus knows it. And Jesus said it. Watch this. God's the author of new things. I just wrote a few up there. Watch this. Oh, did you see that? Back, look, hit that back button. One more time. Right. Oh, there you go. I go back forward again. Bye-bye to my old attitude. Bye-bye to my old life. Bye-bye is flying away. Amen. So now, there's a new song, there's new mercies, there's a new heart, a new spirit, there's a new mind. He gives us a new self, a new covenant, a new name, a new birth, a new heaven, and a new earth. Our God is not some old rusty God that we sit back and polish some old rusty brass off of something. We are awesomely and fearfully made by God, and we are created to go forward, not backwards. If you were made to go backwards, then your eyes would be at the back of your head and your feet would be turned around. I have to admit, I want my first pair of shoes walking backwards, but I walk forward ever since. So, here we go. Get ready. The elements are changing. Then we'll talk about this, and then we're going to be through. I reckon. Here's the elements of change. Watch this. Change occurs in everybody's life when three things are present. Number one, pain. When you get discomfort with the way things are, you get uncomfortable with it. I mean, now it's got pain. When you get uncomfortable with the way things are, you'll change. Number two, hope. When somebody gives you a vision of the way things could be, Jeremiah 29:11, God says, I've got plans for you. I've got a hope and I've got a future, not to destroy you, but to use you. Number three, when somebody gives you a strategy, a plan of the steps to take where He wants us to go. And when these things take place, then we can change. It can be one, two, or all three, but when those things start happening, then God can start moving in your life. So here's the expression of change. Change comes in two forms. I want you to watch this now. Two forms. First, change comes when we just fix something broken. That's remedial. We fix something that's broken. We just focus on problem solving. Fix something broken, it's figured out. This is what's wrong. A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, fixed. And this is where most people spend their time in change, is right here. Number two, grow in new ways, developmental. Now you're goal directed. Now, if you want to stay on the front lines, if you want to stay moving forward for God, not moving backwards, if you want to keep your life fresh and vigorous and alive, then in order for that to happen, you just can't be fixing something that's broken. You got to have your mind in a developmental way, goal-directed, grow in your new ways. So now, watch this. Change for change's sake is like rearranging deck furniture on the Titanic. Woo! Everybody do that. Woo! Change for change's sake. We're just going to change because we're going to change. Nah. Go ahead, arrange the Titanic deck chairs, but I can guarantee you're still going down. You got to know there's a goal, there's a purpose, there's a reason for the change, there's a reason for the growth, there's a reason that we're moving forward. Listen. You have to have outcome-based thinking. What is the goal? What do we expect to achieve? What is the product? What's going to happen when we do this? If when we do this, there's going to be stretching, there's going to be pain, but which is worse, the pain of doing nothing or the pain of stretching and moving forward? I would much rather have the pain from stretching and moving forward than to have the pain from sitting there doing nothing. My knee, you know, I hurt my knee several Easters ago, and they even called me, those guys in the prison ministry called me Little Mo with the gimpy leg. And at nighttime, after I've walked through that prison all night long, and I come back and I sit in that van that just freezes up, and I have to get out and have to get it moving again so I can get going. And what I've learned is if I just keep it still so it doesn't hurt, guess what it does? It hurts. But not only that, it freezes. So if I keep it moving, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, cha-cha-cha, cha-cha-cha. I went to Fuquay Arena yesterday to an Emmaus meeting, and I'm sitting there, and they got a chair sitting there waiting for me at the bar. I'm on the board now, and they had me a chair sitting there, and I got there, and I sat down at the chair, and there was table legs and bar crossing everywhere. I tried to put my leg through the bar, I tried to put my leg everywhere, and it just kept freezing, so I kept moving it, and I'd move it, and finally there was a lady beside me on a cane. I kicked her cane over. And she said, "Sir?" I said, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that." So now I turn around and kick it over again. I mean, what do you do? But I know that it has to keep moving. If I keep it moving, it feels better. Now, so the pain of staying still is a whole lot worse than the pain of moving forward. The same way in our life. If we can understand the pain of staying still, because in Jesus, if you, in Christ's economy, if you just stand still, you're backing up. And when you back up, it hurts. You see it hurting. You see the loss. You see the setbacks. You see the things that you once had are no longer there, because Jesus wants us to keep moving forward, not backwards. And those that refuse to keep going forward, eventually, they've gone back as far as they can. Their back's against the wall, and it's not a pleasant sight. So now here's the emotions of change. First, let's get your Bibles out. Get your Bibles out to Numbers. Numbers, chapter 13. Here's the two feelings that you get. Number one, fear. When change starts coming, you get afraid. Fear makes us resist change because change is unpredictable. Watch this. Chapter 13. Let's just go to 26. They're getting ready to go to the promised land. It's an 11-day journey into the promised land. It's awesome. But it says, and they went and came to Moses. They went and they spied out the land. They came to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto the congregation, and showed them all the fruit of the land. Everything God said was there. And then he told them and said, we came into the land whither thou sendest us, and sure it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, or look, God, you gave us your promise, but we didn't realize that with your promise comes problems. Somebody shout. How many's got a promise from God and you got problems right along with it? He said that it was going to be problems when you get his promise. He said, nevertheless, the people be strong to dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites, and the Termites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against these people, for they're stronger than we are. He says, go up at once, men. We got to go at once. Why? We have to go now before you talk yourself out of it. How many here, God's put you on the edge, and as you get on the edge, you talk yourself out of it. I'm going to do a new, this is a new year for me, and I'm going to do it different. And so you get it all figured out, and by the time you've gone 2 or 3 weeks through it, and all of a sudden now you've noticed that not only is there fruit in the land, there's also giants, and all of a sudden now you've talked yourself out of it, and you just go back to the way you were. Because you talked yourself out of the blessing. Wow. He says, go up at once! But they were afraid. Because with change, remember, change is unpredictable. Now turn to 14. Now they're ready to go back. They've murmured against Moses. They're ready to just turn around and go back. They're going to go back to the flesh pots in Egypt, because at least they know they don't like it, but at least they know what they're going to get there. They expect pain. They expect problems. And they're all right. Let's go on back, because it's so unpredictable up ahead that the change may cause us to be really uncomfortable. And so now they've got the old wineskin attitude, and now they've already ruptured. And all the congregation lifted their voice and cried. The people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto him, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, and would God that we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make another captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation and the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they said, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, this land which we passed through to search is an exceeding good land. And if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Meaning we're going to grow. These problems are going to be there, but as we go toward the problems, as we move toward the problems, we're moving toward the problems with the promise. And if you move toward the problem with the promise, then the problem becomes bread. You grow from it. And so their defense is departed for them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But the congregation bade them stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation for all the children of Israel. God just says, I tell you what, I'll fix it. I'll fix y'all up. Y'all can wander. Just wander around the wilderness for 40 years. You think what I got for you is not good enough? Then you just wander. You could have all this. And surely, in verse 23, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him and follow me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. Faith. Faith makes us embrace change and see the way things can be. Yes, it's not easy. How many's ever raised kids and didn't get a gray hair? How many have raised kids and you love them dearly and you wouldn't trade them for anything? you would give your life for them. But good Lord, thank you, Father. They can make you think sometimes that, are these my kids? Daniel was talking about the other day. I can think about the time that I get a knock on my door at Williamston. And there's two Williamston policemen. And I said, and that's the parsonage. And I said, well, can I help you? And I looked behind, and in the behind them was Daniel. And the law says, take it easy on him. Oh, really? You're bringing him to the house, tell me to take it easy on him. And he says, another guy says, he says, officer, go get his bike out the back of the car. Oh, take it easy on him. I remember the time I'm over at the hospital and I get a call from somebody who says, you need to come home quick. There's about 200 kids around your house. The law's all around your house. This is the parsonage. You better get here quick. The law's out here. And said, DC standing in the street talking junk to the policeman. And I said, what happened? They were supposed to be down the road doing something. What's happening? And then he turned around and says, find out that where they were at to have a little party, they were going to play a little bit at this little party. There was too many kids. There weren't enough room. So they said, well, let's go to the back of the parsonage. There's a big place behind there. And so they decided to have a rock concert behind the parsonage. And the police come and tell them they got to break it up. And DC says, goes and starts saying, well, this is my house. When I got home, I did say this to those boys. I said, fellas, it's on. I know y'all have never done this to your kids, and so please forgive me. I said, fellas, it's only by the grace of God that I don't kill you tonight. You seen Tom Hanks in that movie when he's the baseball coach? He goes, there's no crying in baseball. And then he goes, you didn't hit the cutoff man. Well, I was going. And Beverly said, go to bed, honey. Go somewhere, ride down the road. I said, no, I'm just going to kill him. It'll never happen again. I'm just going to kill him. The next day, Bethany was dedicated. We took a picture at a dedication. And it was really wild. I didn't pay attention to it. We're all sitting together, me, Beverly, and Bethany, she's 5, and DC and Daniel, and they're doing this. And my mother-in-law came to me and said, what's going on? I said, why? I said, DC and Daniel just begged me to take them home. And I said, what? She said, Daddy's going to kill us. True story. I got two witnesses in here. Look at them. They're back there going, uh-huh. Oh. But the still point is, I love my boys. I didn't stop loving them. They didn't wake up next morning and I was going to kill them. And still, they're still going to be Lintons. Their tombstone would have read Daniel and D.C. Linton. I never ceased loving them. I never ceased being their father. But it just caused some unnecessary, unwarranted, unwanted stress. And then I made them go around and apologize to the whole neighborhood. And they said, do we have to, Daddy? I said, yeah, you got to. And they come back and I found out everybody said, we like it. Can you do it again? I said, y'all are a big help. Okay. Faith makes us embrace change. We can see the way they are. It may hurt, but you'll grow from it. You may have to stay up late, learn more things, train a certain way. You may have to ask God to show you. You may have to spend more time on your knees. You may have to practice more. You may have to study more. You may have to get down serious with God. You may have to get out of your comfort zone and go to the prison, or get out of your comfort zone and go to the nursing home, or get out of your comfort zone at work and just go. And somebody goes, I noticed you prayed, and you said you're going, mm-hmm. Say, you know why? Wow. Or you go to somebody and you say, you know, I'm David Linton. Glad to meet you. Just open up some doors. Because God can do something. You see, I'm getting ready to close. The Bible says get ready for the new wine. Because God's always got his steel operating. And the revenuers can't shut it down. Enlarge the side of your tent. Let your tent curtains be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your ropes and drive your pegs deep. Wow. In other words, get ready because you're getting ready to go. Isaiah was talking to people that had been in captivity. Their hands have been tied. And God says, now your hands are going to be untied. Now instead of sitting here, how many's ever seen an elephant at the circus? That great old big elephant being held still by one little peg that deep in the ground. Do you know why it's held there? If the elephant knew it, the elephant would pull it up just like that and keep on going. But you know what happened? When the elephant was a baby, they trained him. When he couldn't pull it out, they would put his leg in that chain and they would chain it down and he would keep everything he can trying to pull it and could not pull it out. So he quit trying. When he got enough power to do something about it, he didn't try because he said there's no need. And so for the rest of his life, he's held down by a stake that deep in the ground, not knowing he could pull it right out, not realizing that. And you've heard me talk about it before. You've heard of the flea circus, haven't you? There is a real thing, it's the flea circus. The flea circus, they take the fleas and they train them. Some fleas jump that high, some fleas jump that high. You know, a flea can jump hundreds of times in length than it is. I mean, just keep on going. I've seen them. You get the flea here and you go try to hit it. Yeah. But you know what? You take that flea and they put some fleas in a jar that tall. They put other fleas in a jar that tall and other fleas in a jar that tall and they just leave them in that jar. They try to escape. But every time they get up, they hit their little flea head on the jar and mess up their little flea brain. And they fall back down. And they say, I'm going to get out of here. Poof, and they hit their head and there they go again. They get up and hit their head and they go again. So eventually, they quit trying. They only go just close to where the jar lid is. That's as high as they'll jump. Pretty soon, the trainer can take the lid off and they'll never jump out of the jar. And for the rest of their life in the flea circus, they put them down and they know this one's stored in this jar. This one can jump a foot. This one can jump 3 inches. And that's as high as it'll go from here on out, even though it's free. Because it's in its mind, it can't change. Watch this. Here it is, and I'm closing. Make room for God to work. That's what this is saying. Make room for God to work. Get ready. Live a life of expectation. We walk around going, God can't. There's no way. This will never happen. No. And God's saying, what about with God all things are possible? Yes, we can do this. And be flexible. It ain't got to always be your way. And it ain't always got to be somebody else always got to have it their way. It's be flexible. And get ready for supernatural move of God in your life. Fellas, come on up here. Come on, play something. God wants to do something for y'all and for me. For us. He wants to do something so supernatural. Wow. But some of us, like those elephants, have got our leg tied down and don't realize we can pull it up. Some of us like to flee. We beat our head against the top so much. What we considered as high as we could go, we beat our head so much when we couldn't do anything about it that now that we can do something about it, we don't even try. God doesn't want to patch us up. God wants to lift us up. God doesn't want us to live a life full of misery. God wants us to live a life of victory. And in order to live that victory, we're going to have to take that lid off. We're going to have to pull up that stake. We're going to have to do something different. I get tired of going through the motions. Going through the motions has never saved anybody. Going through the motions has never delivered anybody. Going through the motions has never seen anybody healed. Just going through the motions. But when you go through it with God and see what He can do, wow, an amazing thing takes place. When everybody stand, I know it's getting late. I was a little long-winded today, but that's okay. At least I think it's okay. You may not, but I do. God wants us to get ready. Something spectacular is happening in our midst. God wants us to get ready, to be flexible, to understand. He wants to do something powerful in our life. To bust up the status quo, to move forward, not backwards. To stretch. I don't want to be an old goat. I want to stretch. Right now, if you got a need in your life, first, everybody's bow your head for a minute. I'm going to ask this question, then we're going to come up and pray. Everybody bow your head, nobody looking around. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not here to call you out. I'm not here to make a spectacle of you. I'm just going to ask you, just raise your hand. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, would you put that hand up and say, pray for me? I do not know Him. Pray for me. Maybe you're here today and you've been kind of on the back burner. You're not sure anymore what God wants to do with you, and you're just kind of hanging around. You haven't gone forward. You haven't gone backwards. Don't realize it, and you got stale. And you need God to help you through that staleness. You want to rededicate yourself and say, God, I want to step up out of that staleness, and I want God to use me. Nobody looking around, would you raise that hand? I want God to break me out of the staleness. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Bless them, Lord. Break that staleness in the name of Jesus. Maybe you're here and you just say, you know, I didn't even think about it this way, and I don't want to be an old goat. I need you, God, to do something. Help me to stretch. And I thank you for it. If I'm talking to you right now, every head bowed, every eye closed, I just want to be able to stretch. I want to be an old goat. I want God to do something. Would you raise that hand? God, I want to see new things. New things. Hands are going up everywhere. I want to see new things. New things in my life. Now, if you need anything else, or you just want to pray, you want to thank Him, I'm inviting y'all to come to the altar. All that will, come to the altar. I know it's getting a little late, but we can still take some time out to pray. God, I need you. God, I need you. I don't want to be an old goat. I do not want to be an old goat. God, help me stretch. Use me, God. Use me, God. Use me, God. Help me break the limits. Help me take the limits off. Use me, God. Use me. God, I need to get past a lot of past. I need to get back into forward. I need to move ahead, not backwards. I don't need to be stuck in the past. I need to be moving forward. God, the past will kill me if I stay there. I need to move forward. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory to the Lamb of God. 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 I love you, Father. I thank you, Lord. You're awesome. You're awesome. I don't want to be an old goat. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Yes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for touching Cecil right now, Father. In his bit of affliction, Lord, let him feel you raise him up. Let him raise up, Father, with your power and your anointing, Lord. Father, we know, Lord, it may be high risk to the doctors, but Lord, you've got this under control. And we trust you right now. We trust you in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lamb of God. Praise the Lamb of God. Praise the Lamb of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want everybody to repeat after me. God, I don't want to be an old goat. I want to be able to stretch. I want you to use me, God. Help me to step beyond my comfort zone. Y'all got kind of quiet. Help me to step beyond my comfort zone. Use me in a new way, in a fresh way, this year. Amen. Amen. I heard Brother Wayne said one night, he said, the difference in the sheep and a goat. The sheep goes, and the goat goes, we don't want to go, amen. All right, come back tonight. We're going to do something special. We have something, God's going to do special. We know it's going to be special. Amen. Amen. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory. Glory. Glory to the Lamb of God. I'm going to ask Brother Benny to dismiss us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to be in this your house today. And Lord, as we go forth in the mission field that is outside that door, we ask that we bring in it with us every word that you have given us today, so that when others see us, they will see you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.